Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the next episode of Triplicity. In today's episode, we're going to talk through the astrology of Capricorn season for 2022 and 2023. So as we discussed last time, we are no longer doing calendar months. It is time for sun signs only because Alan Leo was right. Welcome to Triplicity.
I can't.
I never thought I would heard those words uttered in my life.
That was wild. I was not expecting that.
Well, by someone under the age of like 45, I never thought I would hear those words uttered, but
I guess so.
Jump scare.
Jump scare.
I was going to say under the age of 30, and then I was like, no, Jared's older than that.
I'm 32.
I'm yelling. Oh.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi.
How are you both?
I'm doing great. I'm technically working right now, so I'm like double dipping.
Me too. Yeah.
I hate both of you. I don't know. It's been moving into this. Lunar perfection has been rough. Saturn inching towards my midheaven while I'm manifesting as me trying to get a promotion for the past like 3 months has been rough. Being a retail worker during the holiday season's rough. Mm-hmm. But yeah. I'm getting there. Once we move into the new calendar year, I think it'll be fine. But, you know, retail at this time of year is terrible. Be nice to your retail workers. We're more tired than you are.
It's an understatement.
Yeah.
I also think that, like, the heliacal rising of Venus, which is happening, like, now, hopefully alleviates for you a little bit.
Oh my God.
Someone called our store the other day to be like, so I just like didn't get the customer service experience that is expected at Redacted. So we had to have like a huddle about this and be like, someone called the store and I was like, bitches just want to complain. Like, I don't know what to tell you. She was like, basically the way it works is we get our like night shipment at like 8 o'clock and we're open till 9. So for like the last hour, if you are shopping, like you have to understand that like we have a job to do. We're unloading a truck. Yeah. Like, I'm so sorry, like, get with the program. And they literally called to be like, I didn't feel welcome. And
oh, I was my God.
You called to complain that we're working too hard?
Yeah. You called to complain that an hour before close, during December.
Exactly. Like,
lady, you're the problem.
Yes. That's wild. The audacity.
Yeah. The nerve, the cheek, the gall, the gumption, all of it.
I'm yelling.
Let me do my job. I'm sorry I didn't personally ask you if you were finding everything okay and how your fucking peas tasted. Shut up. Okay, rant over.
Have you had a cotton candy grape today?
I'm yelling.
You never eat a cotton candy grape and shut the fuck up.
I've actually never had those still, to
They're
be honest.
They're really good.
Everyone says either.
That's wild.
It's wild at like of how much it just tastes like cotton candy. It's an abomination.
So it's like just a grape that comes from the earth.
It's a grape. Yes.
It's a grape, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. There's also, everyone's been raving over the lemon ricotta cheese that we get during this time of year that allegedly just tastes like cheesecake. So I bought a wedge. I haven't tried it, but I also don't like cheesecake, so I don't think I'm going to like it.
It's an affront to to God. It's unnatural.
It's unnatural.
I'm yelling.
But you know, Rahu in tropical Taurus. Weird food.
Weird food.
Yeah.
Pilk.
Pilk. Oh my God. Pilk. Pepsi milk. Did you see that?
Ew. What is that?
So I tweeted the other day, like, add pilk to the things, to like the weird milk things that, you know, because we talked about weird milk things on this podcast. Yeah.
Recurring theme, weird milk things.
So Lindsay Lohan did a Pepsi ad for Christmas, and it's like pilk and cookies, Pepsi milk and cookies. And she's like, that's one dirty soda.
Oh.
Yeah, gross.
Oh my God. No, absolutely not.
And like I've seen TikToks of people adding like half and half to soda.
Ew. Why?
Which, like, I mean, cream soda is a thing. So, like, I kind of understand, like, how you got there.
Like a root beer float.
Absolutely not.
Or like a root beer float. Exactly.
Those are good. Yes. Those are actually good. Yes.
But, like, straight milk, like whole milk and Pepsi. Ugh. No.
Absolutely not.
When you tweeted pilk, I was like, oh, pink milk. Cute. No. Not what I thought it was.
Pepsi milk.
Pink milk.
You're like, cute, like, strawberry, yum.
No, it got way worse.
No, yeah, it was much worse than I thought it was going
to
be.
That's hilarious.
So everybody put out some pilk and cookies for Santa.
Ew. Ew.
When I was younger, we... my parents were always like, we should leave whiskey and cookies for Santa because he needs it. And I was like, so true. He needs a nice... And I was like, now that I'm older, I'm like...
Oh, my parents were just drinking.
My parents were just drinking.
That's hilarious.
I mean, like, good for them, but, like, just say that.
Wow, I did not get that. Wow, until... I thought they genuinely was just... Wow, that... Yeah, that's exact... Wow, yeah. Wow.
Like, I remember one year in, like, third or fourth grade, we made reindeer food, and it was, like, glitter and carrots. And we, like, sprinkled it on the... They were, like, sprinkle it in the front lawn so the reindeer can eat it. And my mom was like, I will never forget going outside and picking up those damn carrots.
I'm yelling. That's bad. Why did you think that was a good idea?
I don't know. Well, it's worse, like, when I'm at work and, like, there are children around and parents will be like, oh, my God, Santa, I have to, like, consciously be like, there is a child. Like, do not be like, well, Santa Claus.
Children.
But also, Santa's racist, so I don't know.
Whatever. I'm yelling. Wait, like, really? Like,
I mean, like I just think about, like people being like, all these gifts I got from Santa, and then children of lower socioeconomic status, who are normally children of color, being like, why didn't Santa get me as many things as my friends? And it just turns out to be like, because your family's poor.
Yeah, it turns out Santa doesn't care about poverty.
Wait, yeah. Oh, but that's not Santa's fault. It is.
Well, I mean, it's
the parents.
It's
not.
It's also capitalism.
It's capitalism.
Right, capitalism, yeah. Not Santa. Oh, but yeah,
the concept is racist, but the figure is not.
The figure isn't, yeah. But, like, the application of Santa Claus.
Yeah. Yeah. And Black Santa. We like Black Santa. Can he be exempt from this?
Yeah, sure.
Thanks. I don't know. That was so unnecessary. Okay.
And then, so I was actually thinking about last month's astrology. We had that crazy full moon. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that happened around that full moon was the Brittany Griner release.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, true.
And yeah. I thought that was a really good example of the delineations that we talked about here, because we talked about how the moon would come through and focus our attention on something that's kind of feel-goody and about care and, you know, rescue, because the moon after that Mars junk was just applying to Jupiter all the way through the end of Gemini. And so there was kind of something like rescue about it, but then also very nefarious that's kind of swept under the rug and blocked out. And like, if we think about the exchange that happened between the US and Russia to get her out, we released a like arms dealer.
You give us one basketball player that had weed, we give you one arms dealer.
Right. Yeah. And it's truly, like, I was thinking about it, like, for America, that is the cost of our, like, American patriarch capitalist society. That was the cost of it. Because the only reason why she was there was because she couldn't make money here playing basketball.
Yeah.
There wasn't opportunities for her as a woman playing basketball here, and there were in other countries. There's a lot more leagues and teams that were willing to pay better money. Mm. And so the cost of us not fixing that problem is that we have to release a Russian arms dealer who is like a murderer. That's the cost. And we're just like, okay with that cost. It's fucked up. It's fucked up.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all really sad.
Like, so glad she's back. So glad that she's no longer trapped in Russia. Like, love that. But like, they should have given us a little more if we're going to give them back an arms dealer.
I'm yelling.
I'm like, I'm really glad that we prioritized her life, like as a country, that we prioritized her life and brought her back. Like, I'm very glad that we did that. It's frustrating that it feels like the conversation isn't about the fact that she was there because there weren't opportunities for her here. Like, because that's the root, like, she wouldn't have even been there if there had been opportunities for her in America. But America doesn't have those kind of opportunities for women, especially Black women.
Yeah.
I'm checking to see if we have a time for her chart also.
I know she has some Gemini stuff.
She's a Libra new moon. Sun, moon, Mercury. Oh, she's born under a Mercury Venus like partile conjunction in Libra with Saturn and Capricorn.
Oh, wow.
With Mars at 14 Gemini.
Yeah, this was on her Mars.
This was on her Mars.
Yeah. Wow, that's wild. It's so wild. There's been so much happening, I feel like. So much has been being the two people from Good Morning America, that shebang.
Oh my god, yes.
Like, that was absolutely wild. And apparently he's like been a cheater and had
it was the second time.
This is not the first time he's been doing this. And like, also New York Times folks also walked out. That was that full moon too. Like, there's just been, it's so much, like,
and that the New York Times thing was such like a Mars, like, let's like
we're done
directly affecting like the media and like the writing.
And the moon with like gathering people. Like that's like one of the, you know, 100% traditional things that the moon does, is brings people together. And so to like bring media people together to strike.
Literally. Also the whole New School situation. I know that there's a situation. I don't know really the details of it, but it's just like, I feel like we talked about this in the Mars retrograde episode, when like teachers and like writers and people being finally being like, no, we're stopping. We're not going further anymore. It's so interesting.
This AI chatbot, like, I think I have a friend who's a teacher, and she's been saying that like a lot of teachers are really worried about this chatbot, because you can go to it and say, write me 1,200 words about this topic with citations in the voice of a ninth grader. And it will give you 1,200 words in the voice of a ninth grader with citations about the topic.
How do you moderate that?
You can't. Like, how do you, as a teacher, you can't.
I know that when, at least like when we were in school, they'd always be like, we can tell how you specifically write. Like, I know if you plagiarized because I understand your like tone of voice and like how you form a sentence. But if from day one you are using this bot, they're never going to know. I mean, not that they're never going to know. I'm going to give the human mind more credit than this AI chatbot, but like, it's going to be increasingly more difficult to determine whether something is authentic writing or, I don't want to use the word authentic, whether something was written by a human or an AI bot.
Yeah. We're going to need a word for that. Humanly generated or not.
Yeah.
Inhumane.
Some man-made diamond is what the AI is. Unnatural. It's an affront to God, and it should be put down.
Yelling. No, it's dangerous. I'm like worried, and I'm just Pluto in Aquarius, as much as I want to ignore it, is going to be so scary. I'm so scared. I'm so scared. Like, none of us can fathom, I cannot fathom what this will be like. Personally, and on a global level, I just cannot. I am very nervous. Very nervous. Just as we had a glimpse of freedom with with Saturn leaving Aquarius, finally, a slight glimpse, it fizzles into nothing.
Yeah.
And then that coupled with Saturn's moving into Pisces and being like this dissolution of boundaries and like what is real versus what is like synthetic or from like another world almost.
And I'm like worried about that with Saturn and Pisces. I feel like people are like, your delusions will be like, I don't know, reality will show itself. I'm like, I want to think that, but it's also like Neptune's hanging out there. Also, it's just the nature of Pisces is never really like going to be real. So well, like going to face reality. So it's going to be reality in this space of underwater, literally. Yeah. How do you, and it's not, that's not fake. That's there. You have, I guess we need scuba tanks or something. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, Saturn's nature is to like solidify things in time, to make things lasting, and to to go through. Sorry, that was very chaotic.
That was hilarious. I had to get my water. I'm so sorry.
Just like dove across their bed to get the water. Sorry. You know, Saturn's nature is like solidify things in time, right? And in Pisces, it's maybe not that like reality will show itself and like the delusions will be broken down. It's maybe that like the delusions are kind of like solidified.
Yeah.
Like it's just like, okay, well, I guess you're delusional forever now.
Yelling.
So.
Oh, good luck with that. Holy shit. Oh my God.
It's so funny because I had, so a lot of my coworkers will be like ask me astrology questions. And one of them literally looked at me the other day and she goes, I forget if I had told the story already, but she looks at me and she goes, hey, John, are Pisces delusional? And I was just like, I was like, they're really imaginative and they have a real capacity to like dive deep into that imagination. And on circumstantially, yes, that could turn to delusion. And then a few days ago, we had one of my coworkers who is in fact a Pisces. She keeps telling everybody that somebody asked her on a date. And this man that she claims asked her on a date has a girlfriend of like 18 years. Like they have a kid together. And she said that she was like, oh, he asked me on a date, but I said no. And I literally was like, she's delusional. Like she actually is delusional. And I was like, I don't want to give credence to this Pisces or delusional thing, but like, and yeah. Yes, in circumstances, yes. Especially with Neptune hanging out there for so long. Like,
ooh.
My Pisces and I think, placements are delusional.
No, and I checked her chart and Neptune is like on her, like partile on her sun right now. So I was like,
damn,
I'll give her the benefit of the doubt that Neptune's there, but.
Yeah, it's real. It's very real. It's very real.
If I didn't have Saturn where Saturn is in my chart, I would be the most delusional person.
It's wild. It's really like weird to like see it as like nothing except for my Sag sun sees anything in Pisces. And so as like an Aquarius, I'm like, what are you doing? I don't, I'm always like, I literally don't understand how any of this makes sense at all. Like, I don't get it. It's frightening. It's frightening. It's okay though. It's okay. We needed it every drop and then every now and then. It's good. You know, it's fine.
It's good to be delusional every once in a while.
Right. Okay.
I mean, I'm a firm believer in like delusion is the key to success.
I mean, yeah, you just like continue to lie to yourself and everyone around you until it happens. It's true. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's true.
How do you think men have kept power for so long?
It's true. It's very true.
They're just like, we are the superior sex.
Yeah, like, just
end of sentence.
Keep saying it until everybody believes it, I guess.
Yelling.
All right, should we talk about Capricorn season?
Yes.
All right. So in a few hours, because today is the day of the actual Capricorn ingress. Yeah, it's like midday on a Wednesday, by the way, that we're recording this. And then it's the actual day of the solstice. So we've got a few hours before the sun moves into Capricorn. And as soon as it moves into Capricorn, it immediately squares Jupiter and Aries, which is exciting. I like that configuration.
Jupiter's back in Aries.
Mm-hmm. Hell fucking yes. Hell yes. I'm so excited for this because I'm glad that Mars is just not there right now, because it was too much before, but now I feel like it's like, yes, I can do this. And just that, not like, yes, I can do this and I'm doing it all right now. It's just like,
and
yes.
I have to be done. It has to be done.
Right. And, yeah. And I have to be number one and I have to be the best. It's just, we can do it, which is cute. So, it's a nice push. It's a nice cardinal push. We're finally getting the love and the joy we so rightfully deserve. So it'll be nice to kick us, put some fire under our ass for a little bit, but like in silence and in solitude.
In silence?
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like it's weird because it's just because the new moon is like soon, and I feel like that's so like fading away in the silence.
I agree. I think it's also just nice that we have, I was just, as you were saying that, I was thinking about the idea of like cardinal Jupiter. When Jupiter is in cardinal signs, you have this time period from Libra to Aries of like 6 years, where whenever Jupiter is in a cardinal sign during that time, there's no dignity. Right. Yeah. So like the Capricorn, you have Jupiter in fall. Right. And so like you have the air triplicity dignity in Libra, and then the next cardinal sign is fall. And then the next cardinal sign is Aries, where you get the fire triplicity. And so it's like nice to have, because the last time we had cardinal Jupiter was Jupiter in fall. And so it's nice to have cardinal Jupiter
with Saturn.
sad.
Yeah. With like a little bit of reprieve from that.
Yeah. Wow, that'll be really nice. Wow, Jupiter's gonna be, it's gonna, even though it's like not Jupiter in domicile, like I feel like it's gonna be interesting going from like Saturn being super dignified for so long to going into like just being obliterated for the next however many years that is until Saturn in Libra. But Jupiter is like having the opposite sort of, well, I mean, except for Jupiter in Gemini, but like having the opposite of that. It's just not the opposite, you know, feeling more comfortable. I'm a little concerned, but also like maybe it could be cute and nice, but like some too much of Jupiter is, especially Jupiter in Cancer, but we'll see when we get there. I'm excited for Jupiter in Taurus. Sorry, this feels like a
2023 year ahead forecast. Go.
I'm sorry. But like, I just can't help but think about all those other things that are happening. But yeah. Well,
especially because we get Jupiter in Aries for such a short period of time.
Well,
Jupiter was into Taurus in what, May?
Mm-hmm.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Because it's like, you know, that actually is a good point, because we have this like really fast transit now of Jupiter through Aries. And we had kind of a fast transit earlier this year of also Jupiter in Aries. But this one, the last fast transit, when I say fast, I mean like short amount of time. This transit is short amount of time, but also like fast moving. Jupiter is actually chugging, that the same kind of chugging that we got with Jupiter in Pisces, like that first time Jupiter went through Pisces, where it just like flew all the way through Pisces, no problem. We're gonna get that kind of feeling again of just like the speed of Jupiter, which I'm excited for.
And we get fast Jupiter in like a fast sign. Whereas like Jupiter in Pisces fast was like, I'm trying to swim really fast and like with the resistance of the water. Whereas like Jupiter in Aries is like,
There's no resistance.
And, you got jet propulsion. Yeah. my rocket launcher's behind me. Yeah.
Yeah. We're gone. Literally. And I think it's going to be great. It feels good.
Yeah.
So I think we'll wait and see. But okay.
And the new moon
season.
New moon,
oh,
and Cap. Right.
New moon and Cap.
Oh, so, that's so cute.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the moon and Capricorn transit, at least this one, is kind of nice.
Yeah.
You've got Venus in Cap, you've got like
Mercury. And there's not like a benefic enclosure, but the moon's last aspect in Capricorn is the conjunction with Mercury. And then its next aspect is the sextile to Jupiter when it moves into Aquarius.
Oh, yeah.
So there's it's like,
oh, that's cute. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's sweet. Yeah.
It's like mildly benefic.
Yeah.
I mean, Pluto's there, but like,
yeah.
It's also just nice that, so like, Capricorn gets all the support of having its ruler in domicile because Saturn's still in Aquarius. But it doesn't have the pressure of like being seen by its ruler, which is a malefic, right? So like, you know, this is kind of a good scenario for things that are in Capricorn right now. It's like they have all of the, you know, the good things of a ruler with a lot of resources, but without kind of that watchful direct eye of the ruler, which is nice.
Holy shit.
Which
You're
is
like
why
describing my work right now.
Yeah, oh, which is why Deja and I are currently recording a podcast in the middle of our work day. Oh my God.
I'm yelling. Holy shit. Yes. This is how I thrive, though. I thrive. Zero accountability. Just let me do it at some point. We'll get done. Wow. That's hilarious.
Yeah. And so, like, and it's, you know, it's similar with, like, when the moon goes through Cancer, because the moon will be in domicile and have that, you know, agency that the moon gets when she's in domicile, but then aversion to both malefics. Right now when in Cancer. So it's, you know, Capricorn moon right now, even though the moon doesn't necessarily thrive in Capricorn, which I don't know, debatable. It's triplicity and I don't know planets if the moon in, like
I will die on the hill that the worst status a planet can have is Peregrine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would much I rather agree. Have Jupiter in Gemini than Jupiter in, where does it not have super strong dignity? Scorpio
Taurus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jupiter in Taurus is going to be weird because it's like Peregrine, but it's a benefic sign.
Yeah.
So it's like, and it, you know, it shares that affinity with Venus through Pisces. Mm-hmm. So like, it's going to be like very interesting.
Of how I think that we get a Jupiter Rahu conjunction in like very early Taurus.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Because nice. I don't think Rahu moves out until after Jupiter moves in.
Mm.
Nice. But yeah, I agree. Peregrine is like
the worst.
Yeah, because it's not only does it not have agency, it also doesn't have any support.
Yep. It's just like, hanging out. Trying to figure it out.
Where it can get support, though, is like, you know, can it see its ruler? That's mitigating, right? The whole, like,
100p.
All right.
Fun time. I like a cat moon.
Me too.
So I think it's fun. Why not? It's okay to be sad about it.
It's the moon in an earth sign. Like what?
Right. We're good.
It's fine. With Venus, with Mercury, it's literally fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Take a nap.
Eat something real good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Something aged, like a nice aged cheese and wine.
Mm. Or like a hearty root vegetable.
There you go. Mm. Yeah. A parsnip.
A hearty root vegetable. I saw a TikTok. Do you guys like this? The dude Keith who does the food reviews, the black dude with the locks, and he's always sitting in the Paw Patrol chair.
Nope.
No.
He's hilarious. Okay. Sorry. So he did this. He got like a pickled jar of vegetables and there was like Brussels sprouts and like all these other like wild veggies in it that you'd never eat ever. And it was like really good. And that just made me think of that. Keith is cool.
Nice. I love food TikTok. I'm sure he's come across my like
probably
FYP page.
Yeah.
Does he? I like the ones where people are like, I'll watch this until it looks disgusting. And then they'll like watch a video and then they're like, it's like reacting to somebody else cooking something. And as soon as whatever the cooking gets like too chaotic, bad. It's just like the video ends.
That's hilarious. Okay.
And December 29th.
Retrograde.
Yeah, we have a chill week until Mercury stations retro.
Yeah. With Venus.
With Venus. Venus is actually like conjoined Mercury at the station degree, which is cool. Mercury station slows down and changes direction all the fucking time.
It's fine.
Yeah.
Remember that article that came out at the beginning of the year that was like, there's 4 Mercury retrogrades this year. Like, blah, 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 blah.
Yelling.
And I'm like, we know that the last one literally starts 3 days before the year is over, right?
Yeah. Yelling.
Can we relax, please?
Yeah.
You're mongering.
It's not even going to like really be off of that degree this year. So is it even retrograde if it doesn't move backwards this year?
Yelling.
Stationed this year.
Technically, no.
Extra Mercury stationed this year.
Yeah. Yeah, no big deal. Typical stuff.
Mm-hmm. Look at what's going on in whatever house Capricorn is in your chart. Look at what houses Mercury rules in your chart. And be prepared to revisit, revise, recount, you know.
Yep.
I have customers at work who are doing like end of year end inventory. I have like 4 customers who are all at the same time doing end of year inventory.
Wow.
I'm like, oh, well, Mercury retrograde, it's a great time to count your stuff. Yeah. Make sure that you double count it because your first count's probably inaccurate.
Interesting. Same old, same old. Okay. And we are ignoring Venus conjoining Pluto at 27 Capricorn on the 31st.
It happens, but
I
can't see Pluto, so
refusing to see it.
Even on the best days, you can't look at Pluto. Can't look at the sky and see Pluto. So
it's true.
Someone shared a like an infographic of like how long Pluto stays in each sign.
Mm.
And like I knew about the elliptical orbit. I just like didn't actually ever like think about it.
Yeah.
It is so wonky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like it's going to be in, I think it's Pisces for like 30 something years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's going to be in Aquarius for 40.
Yeah. It's why are like whenever.
Are you shitting me? It's 40 years of Pluto in Aquarius.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I'm like, I'm not ready to face this. I'm really not.
I mean, it's my thought on like the outer planets is like, so like a 40-year transit is not going to be experienced.
Mm-mm.
On the day to day. You aren't going to feel this transit.
No.
Right. You maybe in 40 years might look back and be like, oh, this time frame, this chapter was defined by that. But as far as like feeling it on the day to day,
probably not.
Probably not.
But I'm still scared. I just remember what Pluto going over my midheaven was like. I remember that was like one of my like, it was so wild. I was like, whoa.
You mean Uranus?
No, Pluto. And my midheaven's in Cap.
Oh, Capricorn. My brain was thinking ascendant and I was like,
yelling.
When was Pluto in Aries?
Also, I remember Uranus in Aries too. I was ridiculous, but it was valid. I was also like a teenager. So it's also like separating teenagehood from. It feels like it makes sense, but no, Pluto going over my midheaven in Capricorn. Yes, I was in like the 5th and 6th grade, whatever. But still, I had like this, or was it the 7th? It was in middle school. I had this moment when I was like, something has got to give. This cannot be like this anymore. And it was something that, like, looking back at it, I'm like, oh wow, yes. But also, like in that moment, I still have like, it wasn't like that big of a deal, but it was something that I felt like definitely overtook me in a way And it changed me in a way that I haven't really like gone through that sort of. So I'm nervous. It's I'm trying to ignore it, but I'm nervous. I'm
gotta be ready to transform with Pluto.
Yelling.
You mean K2, the co-ruler of Scorpio?
Oh yeah.
Oh right, I forgot. Sorry. Mm.
That's going to be something too. Oh, we had that.
We had what?
Oh no, wait. Oh, that's right now. Sorry,
that's right I'm now. Thinking, yeah, yeah.
K2's in Scorpio right now. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. I'm thinking. Sorry. Okay.
And then. And then January 2nd.
Happy White People New Year.
Yeah, sure. The New Year's today. Sun's in Capricorn. Actually, the New Year's Aries.
No, the New Year's, Aries. Yeah. The New Year is March 20th.
Yeah. Yelling.
Yeah, January 2nd, just before Venus moves into Aquarius, when Venus is at like 29:30 Capricorn, there's this beautiful election with, at least in my location, it's like third decan Taurus rising, the moon is applying to Venus in Taurus, it's Ooh. Moon hour, Venus Ooh. Is on the midheaven.
Oh,
stunning.
That's really cute.
Very excited. And then Venus was into Aquarius like a few hours later on the 2nd.
Wow.
Yeah, that's very cute. That's and you said Venus is still in Capricorn during that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's very nice. Hold on.
Let me get the exact. It's at least for me, it's January 2nd at like 1 in the afternoon.
Yeah, so Venus.
Yes, I mean, to keep it in moon hour, I have to make, yeah, I mean, I can put Venus on the midheaven. It's 1:04 p.m. The ascendant is 20 Taurus and the moon is at 25 Taurus.
Wow.
Oh, but does the moon complete that aspect before Venus moves into Aquarius? I don't know.
No.
Damn.
Maybe not. Maybe not as nice as I thought it was.
Yeah, that could be a... Things are like a sudden change in direction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe forget everything I just said.
Oh.
It's okay. There's another really nice one that is kind of similar.
And what's interesting is, though, that this is a really good example of, like, the really, really nuanced details of the way astrology can work is, mm-hmm. like, you see this configuration coming up and you're like, it's going to happen. And then it doesn't happen is, like, I don't know. It's cool that we can predict that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, the chart's still really pretty.
I agree. If I mean, I would potentially use this chart with something a little bit more like ceremonial or ritual. Mm-hmm. I don't mm-hmm. know if I would use this chart to like elect an action, right? Because mm-hmm. like something that's like ceremonial and is more like a one-time thing that's you're not mm-hmm. trying to like grow into something else isn't mm-hmm. going to be quite as tied to like what the future movement and like how that aspect is going to project like perfect mm-hmm. versus if you try to like initiate the start of a business, for example, mm-hmm. then like in the business's chart you have this like kind of missed opportunity. Mm-hmm. Though with it being a Taurus rising chart and then the aspect actually perfecting in the second house and, isn't
yeah
like 210 isn't yeah, and, terrible and, for money.
And like if you do it for if you start something that you understand is going to have a lot of like twists and turns, like using the context of the election, plus the moon is in Kritika nakshatra, which is like objectively the best nakshatra to start almost anything. So if you are starting something where you understand that there is going to be twists and turns and it's not going to be like the easiest road ahead, I think it's fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
All right.
Yep. I love Venus and Aquarius. So hell yeah. I love that. No, it's my Venus return. Very excited in a Venus year. That'd be cute and really exciting. Yeah.
Love a Venus over my moon transit. I will take it.
Hell yeah. Okay. Another one. Another Taurus rising election. Mm-hmm. Oh, cute. Yeah, I was thinking, when Venus is in Aquarius, that'll still be nice at some point.
Yep, so there's another one. It's on the day of the full moon, right before the full moon perfects. Taurus rising, Venus in Aquarius on the midheaven, moon in the third, sun in the ninth. Venus hour, because it's a Friday, it's January 6th, which is also the day that...
Oh my God.
Drag Race season 15 starts.
I was like, yeah. The insurrection?
Yeah, yeah. The gays are reclaiming January 6th with season 15 of Drag Race. We are Team Sasha Colby on this podcast. And yes, moon is in Cancer in the third, applying to the sun in the ninth, Venus ruled by Venus and Aquarius on the midheaven, and Venus and Saturn are besties. Saturn is with Venus.
Sweet.
Gorgeous. Stunning.
Stunning.
Yeah, I like that. And, it, from a mundane standpoint and thinking about it being the anniversary of the insurrection, interesting that the moon is involved in the configuration here with this like Venus Saturn kind of thing happening. Interesting mm-hmm. that Venus gets to Aquarius like right before this full moon. So the, you know, Venus is not involved in the full moon mm-hmm. directly. Mm-hmm. Interesting. I could see it being like justice, something, some news around that with like court cases and things that are going out.
Yeah.
Maybe a pardon with it being Venus Saturn, some sort of somebody not having to take full responsibility for what they did. Being pardoned or getting mercy.
Maybe.
Okay. Not unrelated, but the way that astrology has so ingrained itself in our modern society without actually saying it's astrology, I just got a notification from my Dunkin' Donuts app that says, warm up your winter solstice with a free medium, whatever. But like, it's people will go out of their way to be like, astrology is fake. I'm like, oh, but you really think today's the winter solstice? Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell me
where's
more.
The sun right now? If astrology is fake, where's the sun?
I honestly think that like, I feel like people, because of like the loss of like timing and like people's weird and like timing being the main thing of astrology and it not being like a personality thing. Mm-hmm. Like, and then people having to grapple with like fate and free will and like all of that whole idea and that philosophy. I feel like because we've separated from that, and because people are too scared to accept that, rather, because the sun is too afraid to accept, and white supremacy is too afraid to accept.
There we go. There we go.
The real problem here is just that it's not, what was it? Not everything is in your control, literally. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, it's not, you cannot control it all. Not everything will revolve. I mean, it will, but like, it's fine. Revolve around you, and maybe we'll get thrown off orbit at some point, but it'll be fine. We won't be here, so it'll be fine.
Yeah, exactly. When it happens, I won't be around.
And like, isn't the moon slowly and slowly getting like further away from the earth?
Yeah,
isn't that happening actively?
Yeah, like, I mean, the way that gravity works is that like, it's not a constant force that's like repeatable forever. Like, it's slowly weakening mm-hmm. always, right?
Yeah.
So like, over billions and billions of years, the gravitational pull of all of the things are slowly just like kind of weakening, which is why the universe is spreading out.
This is expanding.
Interesting. Yeah. Whoa, that's so interesting. Space is scary.
Space is really scary. When it's I think really about scary. like things that are outside of our solar system, and like I see these like pictures of like nebula clouds, I've just like, that's a physical thing.
Yeah.
Something I could touch, right? Like, it's mm-hmm. actually like a physical, and it just like, but we would never, but it would be
impossible for us to like to actually get there, mm-hmm. right? To like actually interact with it. It's like impossible for us to actually interact with it, at least as far as we know right now. And it's just like, then why does it exist? And like, why do we exist? Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah.
I remember being probably like 15 or 16 and being like in the shower and just like contemplating like how big the universe really is, or like contemplating the idea that like we are all souls that inhabit a body, and being like, but my soul will exist forever mm-hmm. after my physical experience. Like,
mm-hmm.
what? And, you know, like now that obviously prepared me to be where I am today, but like, yeah, like I remember being so young and just being
like
what the fuck?
Yeah. Yeah, it's wild.
Why do we exist? The real questions asked on Triplicity.
Yelling.
All right, so then there's that election and the full moon in Cancer, which we kind of touched on a little bit already with like, it's nice, it's cute, the moon's like just vibing, moon, sun, Mercury, Jupiter's that's involved. All yeah, it's like okay, moon, sun, nice Mercury stuff. Jupiter, those are not terrible planets to be in aspect with one another.
Nope, it's good stuff.
And it's like 12 hours before the Mercury inferior conjunction with the sun.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Which is interesting that we get the, because we keep getting these like lunations Mercury stuff that happened, because it happened mm-hmm. with the superior conjunction in Scorpio. The new moon was right there. That eclipse was
Mercury was like heavily involved in that eclipse. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm. Or it was the full moon, right? The full moon Taurus eclipse was the same day as the Mercury superior conjunction. Is that right? Or was it the new moon in Scorpio? Because
that was my solar return, and the Mercury was at like 1 degree Scorpio there.
Gotcha. So it was the new moon solar eclipse in Scorpio that had Mercury superior conjunction, right? Conjunct Mercury, south node. Yeah, because it was, everything was on south nodes. That's right. The nards.
The nards.
The nards.
We need to plan another weed circle.
Yes.
Yes. 100p. Cool.
And then Mercury inferior conjunction.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. I mean,
Slay.
Mercury.
It's what Mercury does. Like, I don't really think I have a delineation that it hasn't already been given. Like, seriously, just Google. I'm not just going to be chatbot GTC and just, you know, give you something that somebody else has already said.
I'm yelling. Oh, it's the realizations mid retrograde aha moments one, but like, yeah, it's not
realize.
Yelling.
It's that.
It's literally. Yep.
And then a few days later, we've got Venus at the bendings.
Mm-hmm. Just cute.
Cool.
Yeah. And Mars stations direct on January 12th.
That's like the next big thing.
Finally.
Gemini.
Yeah. Exactly. Contra Antitia, the sun.
Hmm.
Which seems fake to me.
Like, which seems fake to me.
It seems like that's too perfect.
Yeah. Yeah. And same thing with the Mercury direct station at 8 Capricorn. Whoa, is it, are they both 8 degrees, 8 minutes?
Yeah.
No, yeah. That's wild.
That's fake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's
so
wild.
So Mars stations direct at 8 degrees and 8 minutes of Gemini. And then a few days later, Mercury will station direct at 8 degrees and 8 minutes of Capricorn. Fake. It's all fake. Mm-hmm. The universe isn't real.
I'm yelling.
It's a simulation. We are the AI.
Yelling.
Yep. Well, an 8 is Mercury's number. Oh. And Mars. It's
Mercury sign and Mercury.
Mercury sign and Mercury.
Interesting. Whoa. Maybe angel numbers are real.
Just kidding.
come up with that? Like, where did that? I feel like it's also like when it comes to clocks and time, I feel like you just get into the habit of looking at the clock at the same time every single day. Not necessarily you seeing it. You just got into the habit of doing it. I feel like it's just like.
Also, habitual. Think about how many times a day you check the time.
That's true. Yeah. That's
like,
true.
I know personally, like all the time, yeah. Maybe at once every minimum once every like 10 minutes, I am like, what time is it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if that is happening that many times a day, of course I'm bound. Like every time I see the time I was born, I'm like, oh my God. But like, mm-hmm. also how many times am I checking the clock every day? Like,
right. Well, and even when you're not checking the clock, we live in a world where time is like, you look at your phone, not to look at the time, but you see the time. Mm-hmm. It's presented to you. So even like subconsciously, we're being presented with, you know, fake clock time all the time.
Fake clock time.
It's not real.
All the time. It's hilarious.
It's not real. Yeah. And at some point, we're going to have to do something that fixes our clock time because it won't line up with day and night anymore. And it's going to be a fucking problem. We're gonna have to like cut a week out of the calendar somewhere to make it fit.
Yelling. Can we just work less?
Yeah.
That's all I want. I just want to work less.
I mean,
Asia,
all these
we
countries
are literally
that are
not working.
I know. It still feels like too much.
But okay, but also like all these countries that are rolling out like 4-day work weeks, like
right.
They're like getting more done. People are happier. And we still, for some reason, are like, no, 40 hours, 5 days a week.
Total.
Shut up.
I think I just have ADHD and my brain just gets ridiculously tired. So it's just so hard for me to like get back in. Like, even when I do have this downtime, I'm like, wow, I have a lot more thinking to do. And it's just a lot of thinking.
I've got to ponder. I've got orbs to ponder.
Truly. So it's okay.
Also, going back to the angel numbers discussion, I like the time is like its own thing, but like I do think there is a significance to like if you are like driving, for example, and you see like a bus drives by and it's like number 222, and then you're driving to the grocery store and your total is 2222, like those like more random
mm-hmm.
significations of the numbers, I think, but like the time, like we literally check the time all the time. Like that one you need to let go of. But like
yeah.
Sure, in the other ways, like thinking about the number two as like what its signification is, and like
yeah.
one being the singular and two being the counterpart to the mm-hmm. singular, sure. But like we have to let go of the clock thing. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, you know, Dane Rudyard had like his whole thing around like everything is kind of an omen, and you know, the universe is like yeah. talking to you constantly, and so like everything can be seen as an omen.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Which is true, right? Like I do believe that in a sense that even like the clock, looking at the clock could be an omen. But like if you aren't somebody who is like steeped in an omen watching practice,
exactly, you're not,
it becomes
know.
Really overwhelming when you 100%. Think when somebody tells you that everything is an omen, because like yeah. yes, everything is an omen, but like you as the omen reader need to know how to interpret mm-hmm. everything
like
as an
are.
omen,
yeah,
mm-hmm. right, like, and that there's different, like, you know, yes, it's an omen, but what's it an omen for? Is it a big
yes.
deal?
Yes,
yes, but what's it for is very important.
Yeah,
yeah, like I have this one Facebook friend who is always like, oh, 11-11, like grandma's watching me. And I'm like, I'm sure your grandma is watching you and I'm sure she is sending you omens for that. But like, that is probably not one of them.
Yeah.
Oh.
And like, you really think your grandma only watches you twice a day?
Yelling.
Like.
That's a good point.
Graham's watching you like poop shower and, you know, wank it
Graham,
out. Like, like
not Graham.
She's
Graham.
Always seeing it. Like.
Oh, that is that. Ew, that becomes a lot less appealing.
you know?
No, I'm sure when you're starting,
the
like
dead are everywhere.
So. I'm sure she's like, let me leave for like a minute. Yeah. Tell you while you do this.
Sweet O. And then the sun goes into Aquarius on January 20th. Oh, right before that, the sun conjoins Pluto, but we're refusing to see that. Aquarius season begins. Yay!
We get our final domicile Saturn Kazemi for a while. Mm-hmm. Or like dignified Saturn Kazemi for a while during this Aquarius season.
Mm. Yeah. I think about like how many of us came to astrology during Saturn in domicile. And I'm wondering how that's going to be when Saturn leaves domicile, because, you know, Deja, like you said earlier, we don't get like a highly dignified Saturn again for like, what, 23 years, 24 years when Saturn goes into Libra.
A long ass time.
Yeah.
Oh my God. No, it's going to be bad. It's Saturn fall and then Saturn in Taurus. Nah, and then Saturn in Gemini, and well, Saturn in Cancer, and then Saturn in Cancer Leo. And Leo.
Yeah,
Saturn in Leo opposite Pluto in Aquarius.
Oh my God.
Yeah, barf.
That's going to be real bad. So.
A few of my like youngest coworkers are Saturn in Cancers. Mm. And I'm like, oh my God.
Mm. Like, they don't know. All,
they don't know. They don't know. Oh, it's just, it's crazy to think about, be it like you haven't even had your, like, even the Saturn and Geminis are about to have their overcoming square. Like,
oh my God. Whoa.
Yes. Like some of our like youngest astrology peers are about just about to experience their overcoming Saturn square.
Ooh, and that shit sucks.
That shit sucks.
It's so bad. It's so bad. Wow.
I'll just claim dignified Saturn privilege on.
Well, and Jared's like, you fuckers haven't even had your Saturn return. Like, shut up.
But for me, like, my Saturn's in great condition. Like my Saturn, like the only thing that's rough about my Saturn is the fact that it's stationary, and it's below the horizon, so it's technically like out of sect by horizon. But like, I don't know, I live with Saturn experiences. Like, so my Saturn overcoming Saturn square was college, meeting my husband, and getting married.
Oh, wow.
That was, I guess, not the married part, but like meeting my husband, starting dating.
I was like, you got married when you were 22?
I was like, yeah.
No, but Tyler and I started dating when I was 22. The day, actually, a couple days before I turned 22, Tyler and I started dating. And then we got married when I was 25. Because that's when it became legal, which is crazy to think that we were dating when gay marriage was not legal. Like we had to wait until it was legal because we lived in Missouri. We had to wait until it was legal before we could get married.
Wow.
That's crazy.
That's wild.
I just started watching Modern Family, and like the gay couple, like, is not married because it was not yet legal the show was. And I was like, oh my God, like, holy shit. I forgot that was even a thing.
That's wild.
Like, I was graduating. It was right after I graduated high school when gay marriage was like protected it was right after I graduated high school.
Mm-hmm. Didn't Ariana Grande give us gay marriage? Didn't she like release a song that day?
I mean, I'm sure she did. Look at her fucking
probably
brother.
Did.
I think because it happened in June.
Yeah, it was like June, late June of 2015.
Yeah.
Oh, it's Ariana's birthday is the same day.
That's what it was
legalized.
That is hilarious.
I was like, didn't Ariana Grande give us gay marriage? Isn't she the one that did that for us?
I'm yelling.
She's about to go through her Saturn return.
She sure is.
Wow, really?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure she's Saturn Pisces.
Wow. That's wild.
So is Phoebe Bridgers.
Who is that? Yeah, who is that?
I saw your tweet about that the other day. You were like, who is Phoebe Bridgers?
I have no idea who that is. No clue.
She's like an indie... not pop, she's like an indie sad girl artist.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't listen to that type of music, so
Yeah, she's on the new SZA album.
Oh, so then I have heard her. I just didn't realize.
Ghost in the Machine is featuring Phoebe Bridgers. Yes, Ariana Grande's Saturn is at 0 degrees and 5 minutes of Pisces retrograde.
Wow.
Oh, so she's in that
in that weird cohort. Yeah.
Yeah, because Saturn stationed at like 1 degree of Pisces. That year.
Yeah. Yep.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Saturn's gonna station at 0 Pisces in 2020. What is next year? 2023. So it's gonna be like
at full station direct at 0 Pisces. Nice.
Yep. Yep. Full blown Saturn. No more. No turning back. Ooh.
So she's going through like a late Saturn return because she's gonna be 30 next year.
Mm-hmm. Wow,
like she's already 29, and her Saturn return has technically not started.
Interesting. Hmm. Wow, it's wild.
Oh my god, and she has. Oh my god, she has Saturn opposite Mars in Virgo.
Wow,
I wonder how that's gonna go for her.
Do we know? Do we have a time for her?
She's late Cap rising. She's like Neptune on the ascendant, unsurprisingly.
Yeah, she's got that jawline.
Mm.
The Capricorn jaw.
Interesting.
Yeah, and she's born during like the Uranus-Neptune partial conjunction in Capricorn.
Mm.
Mm.
Interesting. Mm. Do either of you watch the Harry and Meghan thing? This could be cut out. Sorry, but it's good. I mean, it's like weird. It's weird because I'm like, I feel so bad for you.
But also,
you guys
like your royalty.
Like, and like your family, like, this is not, I'll give Meghan credit. I didn't know about the royal family at all. I only watched William and Kate get married, and I only knew about it because of The Crown. I just didn't care about it. I was like, what's the point? Mm-hmm. Like, there's no what? So I give her that. But after, it's like there's no reforming that. What do you mean? No, you're not going to be a breath of fresh air. There's none of that. Just leave. It's fine. Yeah. Like, I don't know what to tell you. There's no
choice. Yeah, it's you don't reform organizations like that. You destroy them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. Oh, Saturn and Aries. Oh my God. Sorry.
I am quite hopeful that Saturn and Aries combined with Pluto and Aquarius will actually be the dissolution of the royal family.
Yeah, it's wow.
Especially that's with exciting. Asshat being the king now. Like, come on.
Do you really think he's going to make it all the way to Saturn and Aries?
No, absolutely not.
Probably not. Yeah, but it's going to be that dude. What's his name? William?
Charles.
William.
Well, no, then
Charles
William.
Charles is right now. Yeah.
Shit. Yeah.
Then it'll be William, who is a Sag rising with a Scorpio midheaven. He's very, very late Sag rising and very early Scorpio midheaven with both of the luminaries in Cancer.
Interesting. Wait. Hmm. Interesting.
Bork, bork, bork.
It's probably Amazon. She hates Amazon. I'm which, yelling. Like, good for her. Yeah. But
yelling.
It's holiday season, so shut up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Cool beans. That's it. That's all we have to say about January.
I think so.
I believe.
About cap season, not January.
Oh, sorry. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Yes. Cap. Sorry.
Fuck the calendar.
I'm yelling. We should do a Mars retrograde recap. So we can talk about all the things.
Yes.
That happen.
Yeah. I think that's a good idea.
Did we talk about Mars stationing this month? This like season?
Yeah.
Did we talk about that?
Kind of, but like not.
I mean, we said it was going to happen.
We talked about that. We started talking about angel numbers.
Right.
And that's it. Yeah.
808. Yep.
Mars station is 808 Gemini, January 12th. Yay.
Yeah.
Yay, finally.
Contra Tisha the sun. Over. So we are we hearing or perceiving one another? I can never remember which it is. Contra Tisha, like the mnemonic device. One of them is hearing signs. The other is perceiving signs. So
no idea. I could not tell you.
I think they perceive one another.
Mm.
So it's like I pretend not to see it, but I really do.
Screaming.
Well, and I mean, it's not really gonna. The retrograde is. We will not really not understand, but like we won't feel that retrograde is over. I feel until Mars moves into Cancer, which is after Saturn moves into Pisces.
That's right.
Oh, wow.
So we'll have a Saturn in Pisces episode and then a Mars retro episode.
Interesting. Interesting. Wow. A Mars Saturn trine and water signs.
Malefics and water signs. Yuck. Although, no, I'm not going to lie. I kind of love Mars and Cancer.
I was going to say, I just want to fuck a Mars and Cancer. That's all I want to do. So.
They're cool. They're cool. I was raised by a Mars and Cancer.
I'm married to a Mars and Cancer. So.
Oh my God, Tyler's Mars and Cancer. Oh,
he has Mars, Venus, and Cancer. I have Mars, Venus, and Pisces. Oh,
that's cute. Yeah. Okay, that's really cute. That's really cute.
And we're both Taurus suns.
That boggles my mind.
Wait, how did that? Different, so you were born different years.
He was born a year after me. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I was about to say, how does that happen?
Wow. Mars and Venus are moving real fast.
Right. I was so confused. Also, okay. Wait. We need to end this recording because Jared, I have a really quick question about what K2 going through your seventh was like, and if you can help me feel less scared because I'm scared.
I mean, my relationship ended.
Well, I know. That's why I don't want to hear your opinion, because I know that happened.
But I also started my business because Rahu was in the first.
Okay, that's nice.
So for me, it fully was like I was drawing attention to myself.
Right. That's true.
Not.
Right.
That was, for me, that was the last year at the airline. And so that like, because the last Cancer Cap eclipse was like the end of 2020, right? Wasn't there like one that was kind of like out of sign penumbral at the end of 2020?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that eclipse season was me in Texas.
Right.
Falling out of love with the airline.
Mm.
Then COVID and being kind of screwed over.
Right.
But then moving across the country and kind of starting my life here. So, right. Like, that was really the big piece, was, like, moving across the country and starting my life here. It's also really hard for me to untangle it, because that September of 2020 was also, there was a Saturn station on my Saturn.
Mm.
So, it was also my Saturn return. Yeah. So, it's hard for me to untangle the fact that and it was a Capricorn perfection, because I was 30.
Damn.
So,
God
damn. Gosh. So, it was... It was a lot.
Yeah.
But my relationship didn't end.
Okay. I think it'll be fine. I looked at all the eclipses yesterday out of stress. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, honestly, I think this will be, it'll be okay. Not okay. I think it'll be okay.
I also have a malefic in the seventh. So like it activated that malefic in the seventh.
That's true. Yeah. One of them does have Mars in Libra though. But I'm like, it's fine. It's really no big deal. Honestly, not no big deal, but whatever. So.
Yeah, and if we, for my chart, if I take the like Venus as the natural indicator of relationships, mm-hmm. right? Like Venus wasn't necessarily involved in that for me.
Yeah, that's true.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, that doesn't make me feel any better.
Well, but for you, so it is. But so, like, if you think about the idea of a relationship ending, it could be that the relationship. That the way that you call that relationship now ends.
And that's what it was for me.
And
too.
Something else changes. Yeah. Right. Like it changes to become a different kind of relationship. Yeah. So maybe it's, I don't know, some sort of like longer term commitment that comes through this, or like.
That's what I'm thinking. And that's what Chris said. I also just, it's hard chucking up the money, but I have to chuck up the money because I need to get a solar return reading. But like, I feel like it's definitely, I think it's going to be more so of like the relationship changes versus it like completely ending. So I'm like, at this point, I know. So just no. No. So no, I think I'd kick and scream. And also, like, it doesn't make sense. Like, I feel like if it were like these are big things, and it's like, okay, you see an end is near, but I'm like, this, it just wouldn't make sense. And also because it's like 12th house stuff, I'm like, maybe that's finally when we like move out and like in together. Mm-hmm. And like, cause it's both, we both have Aries rising. We both would like be literally going. And that's also why I'm like, oh God, but it'll be okay. I think it's fine. So
I also think, Deja, as I was looking at your year ahead, I think this year is really big for you with work more than relationships.
Yeah.
So just because of the sun to midheaven perfection, there's like a lot that happens with your Saturn this year and less that happens with your Venus. So I think that this is a year of work and status and visibility and less about like, you know, losing a partner.
Yeah, that's true. Ooh, okay.
Yeah. When I was looking at your solar return, there was nothing that was like break up.
Nothing that's right. That would suggest that. So we'll see. I don't know. We'll see. Work is always the thought for me. So we'll see. Okay. Sorry for talking about me. And I'm sorry that we're still recording.
But yeah, it's fine. I can cut that. But that's all. That's Capricorn season. I got to get back to work.
Yeah, me too.
Like, I'm like, how many IMs have I gotten in the past 2 hours?
Yeah. Like, okay.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.